She's my wife. You know, he gave her to me many years ago. And I love her dearly. And he has watched and he has orchestrated the events of our lives in such a way that we can only respond with gratitude for the grace bestowed. And I thought, okay, well, Lord, if this is the day in which she is to be no more with me, who am I to make a complaint? There's a real assurance in the person and the work of Jesus Christ that comes and meets you at those moments.
This is an ordinary morning. I was on my way to work. I typically leave the house around 7:30. I'm a very cautious driver, especially cautious at intersections. And I ran through this intersection.
Emily and I received the call as we were on our way to work. So by the time we turned around, thinking that, okay, she just, you know, the car's not drivable, but she must be okay. All she needs is picked up. So we weren't necessarily overly concerned as to her well-being until we got to the accident site.
I don't remember stopping and going. I just remember being hit.
And I remember saying to Emily, I think this is worse than what we surmised. And so I picked up my pace kind of reluctantly. It's one of those things where there's something that's drawing you. It's pulling you to it. At the same time, you're being repelled by the very object that you're being drawn to. Because I wasn't sure. Am I going to now find a living wife or a wife that has been killed in a car accident?
I just really remember being very peaceful. And there is just a comprehension that if you're trusting, that there's really nothing that's going to happen to you. There's really not an element of fear for me at that point with this particular accident where fear entered in. And I thought, I'm somehow outside of what God has ordained to happen to me.
I walked around to the driver's side of the car and I saw how damaged the car was. And I remember saying, Lord, help. We need you now.
I felt very peaceful. And I think it's just a peace that, because it's so unexplainable, I feel like it is just a peace that the Holy Spirit gives to you. Because nothing can happen to me outside of God's care for me. I remember looking over my shoulder and seeing my daughter Emily in the background on her cell phone. So I thought, well, there's Emily. You know, she's, you know, doing what she does best.
I only give it like a 20% likelihood of surviving that. No one had said that to us up to that point. They were just working very quickly to stop the bleeding and try to get her lung to reinflate and make an assessment of how bad she was broken up.
I always seem to miss a few. All the ribs on my left side, all the ribs were broken. My lung had collapsed. My right arm was broken. 4 pelvic fractures.
Serrated liver.
Fracture in my neck. Ruptured spleen.
Bruised heart. I remember saying that in an emotional state, but that God was good to us and that he spared my wife's life. But that if he wouldn't have spared her life, he would still be a good and just God. Because he's sovereign. And nothing takes him by surprise. And nothing happens outside of his will. And I knew that, and I know that now.
But any time something like this happens, I think there's that thought that, well, I might not make it. But do I believe everything that I said I believed? You know, is it authentic in my life? Have I lived it? Is my confidence not in this particular accident, this particular situation, but in the power of the Lord in my life and what he's accomplished and his sovereign plan? I came home, I think, on November 5th. And I was using a walker, had a cast on my arm, had a neck brace. It was quite inhibiting. And I was in that condition probably until the end of December. So I would say about 2 months. It was very emotional coming home to the place that you weren't sure that you'd come back to. Even if everything's taken from you and you can't move, you still have your mind. So what do you do with it? There's a responsibility that you have as a believer to God as his child to use your mind. So I've truly committed my time to every day praying for someone, whether it was one of our children or for the seminary or for... It's amazing who God will bring to your mind to pray for if you ask him, Lord, who needs my prayers today? And God is very faithful to bring someone to your mind, often more people than maybe you feel like you have the time for. So, but we never can't serve. We're always able to serve.
And it's through this event, I think, that has really impacted both Nancy and I, that, especially me, the urgency to pray.
See, and do we believe that our prayers are important? We're commanded to pray. And I don't think we take that seriously. But when you're given a situation like this, you almost retrain your thinking. That was one thing I could do. I could manage to open a letter and just see that someone picked up their pen and wrote out a little message to me. And it was so warming to your heart. And I've read through them multiple times. So one snowy evening a few days before Christmas, we hear a chorus of voices standing out in the driveway. So I hobbled to the window, and we opened the window, and I gained such joy in seeing the faces of those people that you just walk by on Sunday, and some you spend more time with than others, but to look out the window and see those people that had come to sing for us, it was, what a blessing. And being able to go back to church the first day there, and I said, the biggest blessing is to see people's faces.
You get a heightened, I guess, perspective that you need to be concerned about every moment of every day to the glory of Christ. You know, it really hones you in, it focuses you. What are the important things in life, in eternity? And you take every opportunity, whether it's with your children, and everyone's looking. How do you respond? Or how is he or she going to respond in this situation? And you only give God the glory for it. But so many people then say, you were so strong. Why were you so strong? Well, what an opportunity to point them again to the cross. Keep going back to the cross. And I think that's really, the future doesn't look any different because the cross is still the central aspect to our life.